all sorts of jewelry, and topped off with tall high-heeled boots. At that moment, Ryan knew that this Baron would pay the price for parading his woman around like a common gaudy whore.
Greetings, everyone! Today we were very fortunate to come upon new breeding stock. As you can see, this one is absolutely exquisite. I believe she is the finest female we've had on the farm for some time.
He walked around Christie, admiring her form.
But, rather than placing her in Gen Pop to be rutted by anyone, I believe she deserves only the best. For that reason, I've decided to hold a little contest, a gladiatorial game, in which the victor will be the only one allowed to rut with the red until she is heavy and an offspring is birthed. The contest will take place tomorrow afternoon in the courtyard between the main building and the front gate. Work will end early, so that all may attend. Fighters will be able to leave the arena by one of two ways, chilled or of his own choice. The last one left will claim the prize.
The Baron paused to admire Christie one last time.
Those interested can give their name to Norman Bauer.
Bauer stood off to the side of the stage. There was a rush of men heading toward him. Ryan knew what he had to do. Enter that contest. It seemed to be the only way he'd have a chance of getting Christie back. He nodded and got up from the table. Brody stood up as well.
Where do you think you're going?
Brody put a hand on Ryan's shoulder.
There'll be at least a dozen men in that ring, and every one of them is going to want to chill you. If you're going to break out of here in the next couple of days, you'll need to be alive to do it. And to stay alive in the arena, you're going to need someone watching your back, and that's me.
It's going to be very dangerous in there. Remember, you just became a father. I'd hate for that boy to have to lose his dad before he even gets to know him.
Yeah, but if I don't do this, then you might die. And then my son will never get to know his old man anyway, because he'll be sold.
Ryan smiled. He was grateful to have the help.
Thanks, Brody. You're a good man.
You're a good man too, Ryan. Let's just hope that for the sake of your woman, you're also the best.
Ryan spent the night in a cabin with Mildred. After he'd signed up for the contest, several women not yet matched up for the night came around asking Ryan if he'd been spoken for. Mildred decided to change her story from earlier in the day.
He's with me.
Besides, I need my strength for tomorrow, and you look like you'd tire me out.
That sent the women away with smiles on their faces. Both Mildred and Ryan enjoyed a good night's sleep, but when the sun came up, they were roused out of bed by Cotterer banging on the side of their cabin.
We're burning daylight, people! If you want to watch the contest today, you've got to start work that much earlier.
The two friends went to the cafeteria for breakfast, and afterward Mildred was led to the nursery, and Ryan joined Brody and the rest of his crew out in the orchards.
Have you ever seen one of these contests before, Brody?
Yeah, a few times.
What are they like?
The first one I saw had only two men in it. This couple had been kidnapped on their way south, and the woman was put up for battle. Her man signed up, but so did Purvis. This guy put up a good fight, but wouldn't give up. And in the end, Purvis had to chill him to make him stop fighting. The thing was, I don't even think Purvis wanted the woman, since she was already a little on the old side.
And the other time?
This young girl, beautiful in just about every way. More than a dozen signed up for it, but most backed out early when they saw that Mog had entered.
Who's Mog?
Big fucker. Stands 6'5", 6'6", weighs nearly 300 pounds. He's the farm's alpha male, and pretty mean, too. Meaner even than Purvis.
He signed up for this contest?
Oh, yeah. He has to if he wants to maintain his position.
And how many others are there?
I checked this morning before getting on the wag. 18 so far. But more people could enter or drop out by the end of the day.
What about weapons?
No blasters, of course. But when the contest begins, an assortment of hand weapons will be thrown into the arena. Everything from sharp sticks and clubs to chains and maces.
So why haven't the others joined together to get rid of this Mog?
He has guys who are loyal to him. They watch his back, and he rewards them with breeders they might not have gotten otherwise.
How many loyal men does he have?
Many, but only three have signed up so far.
So that makes four altogether. Mog and his loyals?
Yes.
Then our chances are still good.
They used the Rainbow Bridge to cross the river below the falls, but if they had a wag with them on the way back, they would have to try a different route. The Rainbow had been twisted and broken by a movement caused by the Skydark nukes on either side of the river. The bridge could handle people on foot, but anything heavier, especially a wag, and the whole bridge could collapse into the gorge below. The Whirlpool Rapids Bridge farther downstream was a possibility, but JB didn't like the creaking sound the steel girders made whenever the wind blew with any strength. He was starting to lose his optimism.
So even if we find a wag, we might not be able to get it back.
No, there's another bridge farther south. It's stable and strong. It's the one Baron Fox takes on his way to the Eastern Vills all the time.
Well, that's something.
After crossing over onto the American side, they found the ruins of Niagara Falls Boulevard and took the road east, followed by the ever-present gang of muties. The vill on the American side had sustained more damage than its Canadian counterpart. The houses, all made of wood, had burned to the ground in a firestorm, and the few remaining buildings were scorched black. A fine dust covered the ground and anything that had remained on the street. They crossed a highway and saw on their left the remains of an airport. They were mostly small planes with single engines, none of them with any weapons. JB had often wondered if he could get such a vehicle running, and perhaps even take it into the skies one day. But he knew that such thoughts were best suited for another time, perhaps when the companions were done roaming the Deathlands, and he had the time and the patience for such tinkering.
The museum's just on the right.
JB adjusted his spectacles on the bridge of his nose.
Looks like a big gaudy house.
It might have been at one time, if mall is another word for gaudy house.
In my day, a mall was a large area usually lined with shade trees and shrubbery and used as a public walk or promenade. But I believe in later years it was used to describe a large retail facility containing a variety of stores, restaurants, and business establishments, often housed under a single roof.
They had stores for wags and blasters in pre-dark times?
No, but they had lots of space inside for a museum.
Why no one else find?
The museum is cleaned out, but not by people looking for wags. It's all in storage below ground.
JB's hopes returned.
If the people who ran the museum knew Skydark was coming, they might have moved the museum pieces to protect them from damage.
Clarissa picked up her pace.
This way.
They started down a ramp that led to a large roll-up door. A sign on the door read, "Deliveries only." JB pointed to it.
I guess we're just going to have to break the rules.
Doc shook his head.
On the contrary, John Barrymore. Whatever we find down there will help us deliver Ryan, Christie, and Mildred from a life of slavery.
JB gave Doc a thin smile. Clarissa lifted the large roll-up door until there was a foot and a half gap between the bottom of the door and the pavement.
That's all I can open from the outside.
More than enough.
Jack rolled into the garage as Dean crawled through on all fours. JB slid under the door on his back, not wanting to roll over his blasters. Doc got to the ground more slowly than the others, the joints of his knees crackling and popping in protest the closer he got to the ground.
I do hope that you intend to provide us with a more dignified way of getting out of this place.
Clarissa remained silent, following Doc inside, rolling down the door behind her. There was a long line of loading docks where goods would have been loaded and unloaded from transport wags almost every day of the year. But now it was vacant for the most part, except for the far corner of the garage.
That's the stuff I was telling you about.
Dark night!
What?
But the armorer didn't answer. He was already running toward the small cache of ancient items stored in the far corner of what was basically a concrete bunker. The others followed. There wasn't an LAV among the collection, but there was a decent-sized wag, the one Clarissa had stolen from Baron Fox, that would suit their needs with a little bit of work. JB continued to survey his surroundings in awe.
Look at that! A vintage P-39!
JB stood in front of the green World War II fighter airplane. Dean came up behind him.
What's a P-39?
JB pointed to the winged relic.
That is a Bell P-39 era Cobra. It was made in this part of the country and used by the Air Force for ground attack in World War II.
Doc tapped the aircraft's wings with his sword stick.
Don't tell me it's almost as old as I am.
Not quite, Doc. Just about 150 years old.
Jack looked at the old machine skeptically.
Not know how to fly.
J.B. shook his head.
Not interested in flying. If I was, I'd use that helicopter over there to land right inside the compound.